This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Movie reviews.
Yes.
Hi, Stephen, how are you?
Hello, lads. It is a ridiculously jam-packed
week this week. There is so much to talk about. But I think we have to start with possibly one of cinema's hottest couples in Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem.
Right, okay.
Like, I mean, they've enjoyed an incredible career together since, you know, I think they first shared the screen in Hum On, Hum On. That would have been about, 23
right, and was that a Spanish film?
Yes.
Right.
And then I think they eventually, actually, in the real world, got together after filming Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Ah, okay. And Penelope Cruz won the Academy Award for that, did she? Was that? Or was it something after that?
Oh, goodness.
I can't remember
now.
You
put me on the spot now.
You're putting me on the spot too, because I can't remember that either.
I can, but we'll check that up.
We'll Google that while
yes, or maybe one of our wonderful listeners will tell us.
I'm sure they will.
Yes,
exactly.
Well, this time around,
yeah.
They are both in.
Is it English or is it Spanish?
Spanish language,
right?
Everybody knows. It's called actually by celebrated Iranian director Asghar Farhadi, who people might know from A Separation or The Past.
Okay.
Brilliant filmmaker. He kind of specializes in generally winding up a mystery within a taut family drama until it blows up. That's kind of his, kind of like a posh soap opera, really.
Right.
And no difference here. And so Penelope plays Laura, who has been living with her husband, not Javier, in Buenos Aires, but has returned to her small village outside of Madrid for her sister's wedding.
Right.
And at the very last minute, her husband, played by Ricardo Darín, does not come for reasons that aren't 100% clear. Meanwhile, Javier plays her old flame. And just with the title of the film, everybody in town knows that they used to be a thing. So that's a bit of beef for, you know, his current partner, Bea, who is played by Barbara Lenny. And what happens is they have this stunning wedding with her sister. And I swear to goodness, there's no capability of people drunk acting this good. I'm pretty sure it was the rap party that they just filmed for the wedding.
Right.
Like, it's pretty loose. It's beautiful. Yeah. It kind of makes you want to be there.
Yeah.
So the first, you know, the opening bit of the film is really joyous, really, you know, sultry Spanish wedding, what's not to love. And then, all of a sudden, Laura's teenage daughter, Irene, played by Carla Campara, is abducted from her locked room during the wedding after falling strangely sick in the middle of the celebration. And the rest of the film deals with, where is she?
Almost like an Agatha Christie in a way,
it's a little bit of a sexy Spanish Agatha Christie.
Right, okay. Because the minute you said disappearing at the wedding, you know, and she was in a locked bedroom and all that, I thought, it sounds so much like an Agatha Christie.
There are no, you know, moustache twirling people or grannies to show up to sort it all out, though. It really becomes this, you know, pained, tortured agony of Penelope as she tries to find, you know, her daughter. And look, it's not, the mystery in itself isn't particularly shocking. Like, it's fairly well signposted how this wraps up.
Right.
However, it's the getting there that makes it really fascinating. Look, yeah. I really enjoyed this one, guys. I'm giving it 4 stars.
Wow, okay.
It's been a bit divisive. People who love Farhadi have said this is not his best. But I actually really like him flexing his muscles in a different language.
Yep.
There's some gorgeous scenery. You know, he uses a lot of drone shots, which I think are really, you know, pushing forward what we can do in cinema. We're getting some amazing aerial shots. Mm.
And well, let's hope people just don't start overdoing it now.
No. But look, I found this a lot of fun, and it's a good guessing game.
And the fact is that they are two great actors,
and they really are. And look, they maybe they're not supposed to be a couple in this film, but you know, the minute they're on screen together, it's like you could fuel a city with the electricity being charged.
Yep. Wow, great.
Absolutely love it. Now, going to a slightly more grim one, we have Lars von Trier, the eternal, you know, controversial filmmaker, Danish filmmaker, The House That Jack Built. Now, what this is a kind of vehicle for Matt Dillon. You remember Matt Dillon? He used to be a bit of a like 90s heartthrob.
Yeah, but he's still fairly good looking.
Oh,
though.
And he is. And, yeah. Definitely.
It's unfortunately, you often fall into the trap where, you know, Hollywood turns your back on you, you know, as an actor, and it's really quite sad.
But he's
done a lot on TV over the years too.
Yeah, he did that series Our Wayward Pines, which is one of those streaming networks. Yeah.
And look, he's still brilliant. He's still got real, I'm going to say chemistry on screen, but he plays a really loathsome character here. Basically, the setup is that he is a kind of failed architect who becomes a serial killer. And the film is told in five incidents, which are, you know, are basically, you know, his first sort of, well, not necessarily first, because we're told he's done it a lot, but five major murders, kicking off with a really dark but kind of disturbingly funny initial moment with Uma Thurman, who he picks up as a kind of bossy hitchhiker. And then,
and she's been a bit quiet of late too.
She has too, but apparently that was all to do with real bad stuff going on with Tarantino has come out recently she's felt a bit, you know, like the film industry didn't look after her.
Yep.
So I think, look, it's the way this plays out, it's pretty brutal. You know, trigger warnings to people, this is a graphic, disturbing film. Mm. Now, von Trier has often been accused of, you know, misogyny. And he kind of really puts his female characters through the ringer. Now, I don't think that's necessarily always true. In Melancholia, for instance, I think Kirsten Dunst was magnificent in a role very much about a woman struggling with depression that just so happened to coincide with the end of the world. But here, he's skating on much thinner ice. But the film, it feels like a metatextual conversation with criticisms of him. And so what we also have is the late, great Bruno Ganz, who people might know from the stunning Wings of Desire, also the Hitler meltdown in Downfall, the much memeable meltdown. He plays a sort of inner voice that is in dialogue with Matt Dillon's serial killer, Jack, about whether there is beauty in darkness, about whether humanity is drawn towards death and monstrosity and to horror. So it's sort of having a conversation about whether this is okay or not. And I'm kind of with him for a lot of it. It's very quirky, but my goodness, the third and the fourth incidents, I'm a horror fan. I found them extremely confronting. The first one involves a single mother and two young kids.
You shouldn't give too much.
I'm not going to say any more, but it's, you know, that's traumatic enough. And then Riley Keough has this terrible, 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 terrible scene that had a lot of people walking out of Cannes.
Oh.
So look, this is not going to be for everyone.
Yep.
You want to go in knowing that it's pretty brutal. If you liked Mads Mikkelsen in Hannibal, and the way that kind of showed murder and, you know, cannibalism and whatever as a kind of darkly artistic thing, then you might find something here.
Okay.
I'm still in two minds where I come down on, I don't think it's a film I enjoyed.
Yep.
I found some of it interesting. I found some of it way too much.
How many stars?
Oh, it's such a hard one to call, David, but I think I'm going to go three stars.
And what's it called again?
That is The House That Jack Built.
Okay.
Now, another one I really want to... Look, the French Film Festival is in full sway, boys, at the moment, okay. And there is so much good stuff in there at the moment, including no fewer than three films of Juliette Binoche, one of my personal favourites.
Mm, she's wonderful.
She absolutely is. And the two in particular that look the most interesting are High Life, where she... It's sort of Claire Denis, incredible, you know, French director, working with her again, and it's basically almost a two-hander with her and Robert Pattinson on a spaceship orbiting a black hole that also has lots of sexy time in it, and it right. kind of looks like 2001 A Kink Odyssey.
Right. So is it in French?
No, it's actually her first Claire Denis' first English language one. Right. I haven't seen it yet. Okay. I'm seeing it tomorrow, but that's one that I'm really okay. dying to see. The one that I'd massively recommend you both going to see is Sorry Angel, and this is a film by Christophe Honoré. And it's set in early 90s Paris. It's sort of a companion piece of sorts to BPM last year, which looked at the activist ACT UP, you know, pushing back against government and big pharma in action on the HIV/AIDS crisis. Mm. So this isn't set in that world per se, but it stars Pierre de Longchamp as this really kind of amazing 30-something free-spirited author who is HIV positive. He's also nursing a former lover who is dying. But much like BPM, the film, unlike a lot of HIV/AIDS crisis stories, doesn't zone in on the tragedy. What it looks at is the love and the abandon and the determination that still existed. So it's not, it is, there's weepy moments, but it's not what you would call a tragedy. It's yeah. quite, it's very humorous, it's very witty, it's very smart. And there's also a nice bit of romance with Vincent Lacoste playing a 20-year-old dreamer who kind of comes into this orbit. But also, it's not a straightforward romance because it's his French. You know, there's lots of polyamory, and it's a really gorgeous one. Okay. And Sorry Angel, and I'd give that 4.5.
Wow. Okay.
And that's playing nationally at the Alliance Française French Film Festival. Yep. And then, we've probably got time just about to squeeze in one final little sneaky segue, but one of my favourite queer filmmakers going right back to the 90s again is Greg Araki. And I don't know if you guys remember...
I do remember Greg
like
Araki.
Mysterious Skin or Kaboom. Yeah. He has these kind of off-the-wall, very sexy, very bizarre dramas that also kind of usually pull in aliens or cults or, you know, all sorts of weird stuff. So in the week where we have Captain Marvel, you know, the usual kind of Marvel, it's fine, but it's a fairly generic superhero aliens story. This his new series, a 10-part series called Now Apocalypse, obviously, you know, playing on the famous film, but is set in LA. And it's a 10-part series, just debuted on Stan today. Mm. And I absolutely love this one. Look, I won't say too much. There is also alien invasion here. There are sexy time aliens. But look, mostly it's just a crazy, pansexual, fun, half-hour blast with some amazing young actors. In particular, I love Avan Jogia's stoner bum Ulysses. Kelly Berglund is the scene stealer here as a cam girl, Carly. And you've also got Bo Murchoff as a really hunky but dumb boyfriend. And I had a heap of fun with this one, lads. It's silly, it's over the top, it's the perfect antidote to all the darkness in the world right now. So if you do go see The House That Jack Built and it freaks you out, maybe just chill out with a bit of Now Apocalypse.
But you're like, it's getting to a stage now where there's so many of the streaming companies which yep. you can't afford it all.
I know.
This is the whole problem.
Well, you know what? If you had to choose one, I would go Stan because it's the local hero. You know, it's Australian company. Yeah. There's, I actually think there's better films on there than Netflix.
Oh, we'll get this. I've gone for the other one.
Well, do you know what? You can, if you get two, that's $20. And
hold on, we shouldn't be talking about the money, but yeah, it just makes it hard, and there's so many other things that you. I don't want to sit at home watching movies.
No.
Where there's so much wonderful theatre and arts out there to see.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like, I don't mind sitting at home watching movies, but that's part of my job.
Well, that's your job. That's exactly. Stephen, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're
and
welcome,
giving
boys.
Us your film reviews.
Thank you.
And just before you go, however, it was Best Supporting Actress
there you
for
go.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona right. for Penelope Cruz.
Excellent. Yeah,
I thought she did. I thought she did.
You got that one, David. You put me to shame live on air. Well done, you.
Hey, it was just one of those odd ones. I don't know. It was one, because I think I like her so much, and I knew that they hooked up after that film as well.
And yeah. she's and still so gorgeous. Can she I just is. Say, like, honestly, I kind of hate watching the film going, how dare you be that beautiful? Seriously.
And she sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. Yes. What a tripper.
Thanks, Stephen. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.